Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of the Juvo Hub podcast. And today's topic is another amazing one, talking about company culture and how it is continues to evolve every single day. So we're looking forward to introducing our guest in just a moment. We're so glad that you're here listening to our podcast today. Before we get into our guest, though, let's, as always, welcome my prestigious, amazing, wonderful co-host, Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts. Mark, what's happening, man?
Hey, buddy, how are you? Thank you for the intro. Look, we joke about all these great ways you introduce me, so keep those coming. The more creative, the better. Love it. But thank you for having me. I'm very excited to have our guest on this show. He and I have talked about this very topic before, and it's such an important one. So without further ado, let's introduce him and get this started.
Yes, yes. Fantastic, wonderful guest. Seth Odie from Tribridge Residential, the president of property management for Tribridge Residential, and as we just found out before the show started, he is also a one-time stand-up comedian. So we can't wait to hear maybe a little snippet about that. But Seth, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you can make it here today, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Before we let him leave, he needs to tell us one of his jokes from his routine, you think?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. That was one of those things where I was operating on pure adrenaline. It wasn't memorization. It wasn't talent for sure. So I couldn't tell you one of my jokes, and I certainly couldn't tell it well enough to get a laugh, but it is, unfortunately or fortunately, on YouTube. You're welcome to check it out. It was to raise money for a great cause here in multifamily. I think it was about 2 years ago that I did it, and people still bring it up. It's funny, people joke about being Google worthy, and that's the only thing that makes me Google worthy besides a LinkedIn profile. Is this one unfortunate night, this unfortunate 5 minutes that 500 people sat through and gave me some pity laughs, I'm sure. But yeah, that was all adrenaline.
Well, it's funny you say Google worthy. You know, somebody told me the other day, you should Google yourself and see what pops up. So I did. And I was sadly to report, there is nothing that shows up about me. I don't know if that means I'm just way too vanilla in my personal and professional life, or I haven't accomplished much, but I was like, dang, that's kind of sad. Like nothing comes up. So look, you got to do, look, Seth, at least you have something that comes up when someone Googles you. But what I love about finding this out about you is look, our topic today with you is about company culture. And as we all know, company culture starts from the top, right? And so when I think about companies that have really great culture, and I have gotten to know many of them personally, I look at the top and I look at someone like you and I look at your position and I say, what kind of person, what kind of character does this guy have that would make his company thrive with a great company culture? So I did not know this segment about you before, but just knowing you in general, knowing how you're so easy to talk to, you seem very approachable, you are a caring leader. And I'll be honest with you, that is not something that you do see a lot in most industries. It hopefully is something that we'll see more of, but I applaud you for holding yourself that way. But really what happens is that the company culture, it kind of falls on you, doesn't it? You know, people look at that, they look at your character and they have to say like, what kind of company culture is he building here at Tribridge? So tell me, when you think about company culture, what makes it sustainable? What makes it ever changing? Because my gosh, when I think about the generations that I grew up in this industry, I've been in the industry for 20 years, company cultures have definitely changed, right? And we have to adapt because generations, they want different things, right? So your company culture and the ideas of it must change all the time in someone like your head. So tell me, what makes a company culture great? How do you make that happen?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something I have been spending a disproportionate amount of my time thinking about lately. Company culture, when I think of what works really well, it has to be evolutionary, right? It has to change continuously as people change, times change, our businesses change. And in my case, multifamily is a very dynamic environment. So you never have the perfect company culture because it changes so constantly. But I think what's important is, and you are right, it does start, if you will, with a leadership group. And it's something when I'm hiring individuals that work on our support team, like we don't, in TriBridge, for example, we don't use the term corporate. I think it has a bit of a negative connotation to it. And it's not who we are. Who we are is we can call ourselves the PSG, which is the property support group. It's exactly what I do and what the people on my team do is we support the communities that make up our company. And so when I'm hiring individuals that are going to work on this support team, it's a big part of what I think about it. Not just, do you have a great accounting background? Do you have a great HR background or IT background, depending on the position, but it's also how will you fit in here and how will you help, contribute to our company culture and who we are and are you going to be able to change with us? So that's something that I'm constantly thinking about. And you are right. There are you're serving different generations of individuals, right? From Generation Z, which is are more youthful individuals. And there's four or five different generations from there. I won't name them all out, I wouldn't call anybody out on that, but they do think differently. But it's difficult, and it's a difficult thing to talk about the generations because you're talking about a huge group of people. People are individuals, like they all think differently. What I think about with culture a lot of times and how it impacts people is, have you ever heard of the love languages? It's referred to as you're talking about relationships, but it's also there's professional love languages and people respond to different things. Some people respond to praise, some people respond to compensation, some people respond to extra responsibility. So, when you're talking about generations of individuals and how they like to work with other people, you have to think about both the individuals and then as a group. Generation Z, for example, they're very tech savvy. They have never they've never not had a cell phone, right? They grew up with all this technology. However, a lot of people write it off as, well, they just prefer technology. So they would prefer Zoom meetings and they would prefer emails. That's actually not true. They like the face-to-face interaction. They do harness technology. They do like to use that day to day, but they also really appreciate feedback. They appreciate you letting them know this is what expectations are. They appreciate FaceTime and spending quality time together. That will help them further their career and understand what their current job is. So there are some generalities that I think are made for different generations that can cause some misconceptions, and it can cause you to go awry when you're thinking about how to have a company that best fits everybody, and so you're all working towards that same goal and having an environment that, and this is most important, that people want to come to. Exactly. That's the goal, especially with a company like TriBridge. As you compare us to other management companies, we're relatively small. We're 5,000 units. There's companies out there that are 500,000, right? So and a lot of companies in between. And so one of the things I think about is I want people to want to work here. Could they go make more money somewhere else? Maybe. Are there companies that are larger that may have more opportunities for them? Absolutely. But people work at TriBridge, for example, for a reason. It's because of the work-life balance. It's because they get buy-in. It's so they can affect change within the company. These are all things that make up our culture, even though they're very specific things and some of them are very tangible. There's also intangible things of, how do I feel when I come to work? Right? Do I believe in the same values as the leadership team with this company. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have ever had an experience where you work for somebody that you didn't really feel like your values quite lined up, and it affects you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not what brings out the best in people. There's a huge misconception that to make people happy, to make people want to stay with you, you pay them the most money possible. But the interesting thing is, if you really dig in and talk to people about what makes them tick, it's usually not money is not the first thing. It's people, you know, it's being heard, it's having buy-in, it's being able to learn new things and move up within the organization. And that's not always about compensation. That's about growing as an individual, both personally and professionally. And so if you're as a group can provide those kind of opportunities for people, that's what's going to create a really rich culture.
It's so funny you say that. I was just talking to a friend last night on the phone about the job that she has. And she was saying she wanted something different. She wants something. She asked for a position offsite. So they created one for her and she thought, okay, I'm going to love it. Right. But then she didn't really love the position they created for her because it wasn't in that sort of vein of her passion. And she talked and talked and talked about how everything aligned. The price was right. She signed the offer letter and here we are 3 or 4 months in. And she's like, I'm really not feeling it, Mark. And I said, I understand why you're not feeling it, because you accepted something that you're not passionate about. And if you're not passionate about what you're doing every day, I said, honey, that's going to deplete your energy. It's going to deplete your excitement. That will change the culture for her. And maybe even unknowing to her, that affects how she might even see the company culture. Like, you chose to put yourself in a role that maybe you really didn't want to be in. But I'm sorry, I kind of got off on that conversation I had last night, but you brought up a very valuable point that these generations that are coming, these Zs, I have conversations all the time about what it is they're really looking for. And so you should be asking them, what is your passion? Where do you want to go? Because I promise you, they come to the workforce already ready, knowing what it is that's going to make them passionate. And if they don't see that in your organization, in you, they don't see that path, and they probably won't stay with you long, right? Right. And so it does fascinate me to hear you talk about the changing of the generations and how you keep them engaged. One thing I do know about just company culture is there is this misconception. I would maybe start working with the company and hear the mission statement, understand what the culture was all about, but then be maybe under someone that wasn't very kind or didn't show me the most professional side of themselves, if I will say. And it made me stop and think, well, is this what your company culture is? Like, how is it that, you know, my boss, my direct report is this way? And it's so against what the company's culture says it is. How do you keep people on track? Like, what motivates the people that are working right next to you to inspire the people that report to them?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's a good point. Something that it can certainly go off the rails quickly if you as an individual within an organization only get direct access to your supervisor, for example, and that supervisor is not a good reflection of what the company stands for. You're exactly right. It can go off the rails, and that individual could walk away and leave the company with that belief that I didn't really mesh with company X, when really it was just that one individual. So as far as how do you prevent that? We prefer to keep our organization as flat as possible, because a lot of times the more layers that you create, the more far removed the leadership becomes from the individuals that are really doing the bulk of the work, right? And so in our case, in our industry, you know, the on-site teams, I visit the properties as frequently as I can, admittedly not as frequently during COVID. We're trying to make sure everybody is safe and healthy, but I spend a lot of time on site, and I will sit with leasing consultants, assistant managers, leasing managers, managers. And sometimes it's just to say hi and check in. Sometimes it's to solicit feedback. Tell me what you like about the company. Tell me what you don't. Tell me what you like about your community. Tell me what you don't. You know, whether it's a system that we're rolling out that is for the purpose of leasing or an accounting function, these individuals are the ones that are using it day in and day out. They're going to have the best possible feedback. To be fair, they know much more about it than I do. So how foolish would I be to not listen to what they have to say and the feedback that they have? And so I tie that back into what you were asking of, you need everybody in the organization to get access to as many people as possible, especially on the leadership team. Our director of HR, Stephanie Jordan, she's incredible. She came to me with an initiative a little over a year ago, and she said, look, I want to go visit all the communities for no reason at all. You know, she's HR. There's a little bit of a stigma attached to HR. They only show up if there's a problem or if someone's not performing well. And she's out to tear that down. She wants people to be happy she showed up. And so, you know, those kinds of visits, and I could quote that from a bunch of different people. Even our head of accounting does the same thing. She goes out and visits communities and just stops by. She'll have lunch with them, say what's going on, and solicit feedback. So if you give the most possible people in your company access to the different levels of leadership and different folks on your leadership team, then that means they're going to get access to all of these different people. And if you do have one bad egg, which does happen from time to time, they'll think, well, I may not be vibing very well with this one supervisor, rather than I'm not vibing with this company.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've lost track of how many things I can give a hat tip to, Seth. Like, it's refreshing. Everything. I just the fact that you're, you know, in like Mark mentioned, we've all been in these conversations where generations kind of get pigeonholed into this stereotype of who they are, how they react, what they want, what they don't want, but at the end of the day, every single person is their own unique identity. And the fact that you would take time and other team members from your corporate office would go out and visit is just, it's just fantastic. To me, it's just it's a breath of fresh air. It's a true template of like those who are listening to this episode can aspire to versus like what we know we hate. Mark and I can, and you, I'm sure, can think back, okay, at this point in my career, I don't ever want to see that again. And we can easily list the reasons why and the people that we worked with as being part of that potential problem. So it's like what money isn't always the factor, but that environment, and especially in the world right now where there's just another level of insecurity and stress. And to be able to go into a work culture that provides that breath of fresh air is just stunning. It's absolutely stunning. So huge, huge, you know, clap for you and the TriBridge team. You know, just amazing to hear that story. So thank you so much for sharing that.
And I'll tell you, Jonathan, what Seth says is true, because when I visit the TriBridge properties, again, I've been in the industry for 20 years, and it still is kind of remarkable to me that when I do shop some of the competitors or just in different markets, and that can be all across the country, I see this sort of disconnect with people out on site. Maybe their passion for their job, it's not there. And when I show up on some of your properties, Seth, actually most of your properties, you can tell there's a different level of commitment, you know. And what I love that you said is you're a smaller company, right? But you have this ability to form it into a great culture when it's smaller. And so it's, I think that's actually really a wonderful thing. You have the ability to make it a great, great culture. And you have, Jonathan, if you've never been to one of their properties, you should go and just shop them. Let me know how it goes. But it is amazing because they have this what I call that sort of old school, old soul mentality of just really wanting to do their job well. And I have to say that's a testament to the leaders of an organization that are providing them with that kind of guidance, feedback. And so I'm going to say thank you to for all from all of us that have worked out on site for going to the properties and being there and offering a hello. Like the fact that Stephanie, your HR director, would go just to say hello is really amazing, because you know what? That's what we think. It's like, oh my God, HR is here, and I'd look around, somebody's getting fired. Or I remember being out on site, a leasing consultant in my early days, and someone said to me, okay, have a stack of work orders on your desk, look straight ahead. The regional is coming with one of the owners. Don't say a word, just look very busy. And I thought, I was scared to death. Like, I think I started to sweat. I was like, oh my, it taught me that I was to fear that visit. And it was terrible. Like, it took me a couple of years to realize that was that one individual that believed that way, but we don't have to behave that way. Right. And so, how do you, what do you think will change? So we're in the year 2021. My gosh, we all survived hopefully through 2020. Right. And so what do you see changing about the company culture where you are, or what is your future? Where would you love to see a change or a shift in TriBridge's company culture, if you needed to see one?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, I think about company culture a few ways with TriBridge. One is I look at our support team, right? Our office, which is here in Atlanta. And so I kind of look at that a little bit in a vacuum of culture. And then I look at our on-site teams and how they feel coming in every day, the sense of community that they're building, quite literally, that they're building. And then all of us together, right? And so I kind of look at these three different areas when I think about our company culture. So, you know, starting at the beginning with just kind of our home office, and is a question that a lot of people are asking themselves, certainly outside of multifamily as well, is what happens now? What does post-COVID life look like in the business world, in company culture? And I think one of the biggest and most obvious things that people are thinking about is work from home life versus being in an office. That is certainly the number one question on a lot of folks' mind. And I believe the right answer is a mix of the two. I think we've all learned that nobody wants to go to the office every single day, and nobody wants to stay home every single day either. You really start to climb the walls, whether you're an introvert or extrovert. You need people more than you think you do, and you need human interaction more than you think. It's funny, there's been a big shift where I used to feel like working from home a day or two a week, I can really catch up and I can get a lot done. And now I almost feel like it's switched on me. And I feel like the days that I go in the office, I'm knocking out things more efficiently than I was before. So it's funny how that works. So I think the answer is somewhere down the middle, right? It's a balance. Because no matter what people think about or how great technology gets, there will never be a replacement for human interaction. And this goes, this idea filters on site seamlessly, because we as an industry at our communities, we harness a lot of new technology, right? We're showing apartments with an iPad. We're doing self-guided tours now, which is a big thing that's kind of really gotten popular and gained steam during COVID, but it did exist beforehand. And what we found, especially with the self-guided tours, using that as an example, is most people prefer for somebody to give them a tour, a human, mm-hmm. right? They don't want to do it on their own. They don't want to do it virtually online. They want to chat. They want to talk about it. They want to get a feel for the community. And the way you get a feel for the community is from that individual. That's what sales training is all about, right? You are selling the community, but you're selling yourself. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I'm going down a bunch of different avenues, but it actually all ties in together, which is people need to be around other people to succeed, right? It's important. And so I think it's finding a balance. And that goes back to the culture piece of finding work-life balance. You know, if you work from home a couple of days a week, you knock things out. People have some very unique scenarios with school and children right now, and they're trying to you know, be an accountant and also a third grade teacher. And how you're doing both of those at the same time, it's amazing. Oh, I think I just lost video.
You're good.
So I think that That's a big part of, and the most obvious takeaway of how culture is going to change. I think you're going to see offices shift. Mark, you've been to our office downtown a number of times, and you've seen that it includes a lot of glass walls, a lot of open cubes with very low barriers. And it was built to be a collaborative environment. If you'd come to our previous office, you would find that it was old school offices. It was cubes with walls that went up to the ceiling. And so I think that itself is a little bit of an evolution, right? And you're going to see that evolution continue. I would be willing to bet you that our next office, wherever that is going to be even more collaborative and even more open and even more shared spaces than it is right now. Yeah. And I think all of this filters down. And I want to touch on one point. And I think this is the most important thing. So if anybody's listening to this, this is what I hope is the biggest takeaway from today, which is when I think about company culture and where things are going, the most important thing to me is being able to help individuals continue to develop their career. And so this Zoom world that we're living in right now, it makes that very difficult. Mm-hmm. These collaborative environments that we created pre-COVID allowed for all kinds of conversations that were not scheduled meetings. It was just folks talking about different ideas. It gave individuals the ability to learn about different things that were outside the box of what they did every day. And that helped them grow, helped them get exposure to people they wouldn't have had exposure to, and also maybe took them down some paths they didn't know they wanted to go down. And so this is the most important thing as you think about, you know, well, I can work from home and I can do this by Zoom. You cannot forget to work on developing your people and giving them opportunities to find out what makes them tick. You know, in our industry, Mark, you kind of touched on this a little. That you're a leasing consultant and then you're an assistant manager and then you're a community manager and then you're a manager. And you know, that's not always true. You could be an awesome leasing person with a great outgoing personality, and you put that person in an assistant manager role behind a desk, just working on receiving rent and people who are late in rent. They could be miserable. And it sounds like your friend was in a different position, but probably a similar type thing. That role didn't suit them. But maybe a leasing consultant you have would be an amazing marketing person or an amazing trainer or even a good analyst. Maybe they start doing modeling to build new communities that don't exist yet. So you can go all through down these different avenues, and these conversations that we have face-to-face, in person, in offices, out on site, those are the kind of things that give individuals new information, access to things they didn't know they even wanted to do, they didn't know they wanted to learn about. And that is what's going to add value to somebody's life and somebody's experience with you.
Look, you are singing my song, buddy. You said so much that I have to go back and try to remember some points that I wanted to bring back up. But first and foremost, I know that TriBridge, we've talked about this, doing kind of an internal sort of job fair where some of the employees get to talk to different departments to find out if there's an interest. That is brilliant. I think I've never seen that before. And if it exists, you know, hey, good for anybody that's already doing it, but I had not heard of it before. I think that allows a company culture to be ever changing. You know, if I were going to take a job with a company that told me, you know, once a year or I don't know, every other year we do a job fair internally where we let you come and talk to different departments heads to see if that department would be a nice passion or fit for you. I would be like, wow, that's incredible, right? Because we have sort of been, it has always been said that our path is sort of already lined out for us, you know, leasing consultant to assistant to manager to, you know, regional, like it doesn't have to be that way. I think the biggest challenge that we'll find is, what do I wear to the interview when it is in person that will match my sweatpants to a professional top? You know, that's my biggest fear is, are these younger generations, because we've become so Zoom consumed, will they know how to behave? Like if you brought this up, if we take them out of that human element, we're not really building their professional skills. And so that would be my worry, that if I were a young person, I would show up wearing, you know, some camo sweatpants with a button down shirt, you know, and a tie, because that is the world we're in today. But as we know, every day our world changes. So brilliant. Thank you. That was very nicely said. I'm impressed with some of the things you guys are doing over there. Jonathan, it looked like you had something you wanted to say too, but I had to get that out, man. I'm so sorry.
So my only thing I have to say is, ladies and gentlemen, Seth Odie. And the reason why I say that is, like, there's so many people, Seth, that I know are listening to this that are just trying to define what's that path for leadership look like? And you being a president of a company and having so many people that you interact with every single day, it's a great example of not being so set in your ways, but knowing how things are changing and being able to take it to that next level. So that's it. I mean, that's, Mark, you and I have had very little, which is great. This has just been an amazing, amazing set of commentary. And Seth, just like I said earlier, man, hat tip to you and to your team. And I look forward to getting out and seeing what these sites look like and meeting some of the team members, you know, once it gets a little safer to do so. So beautiful.
Yeah, we would love to have you.
You could tell Seth was very prepared. He knew he is passionate about this. I love it. I love, Seth, that this came so naturally to you. And if your comedy act came as natural as this did, then I'm going on YouTube and I'm watching it today.
Yeah.
Please, it will be. I'm hoping to get that fourth view on YouTube. So please hit refresh. Give me two views.
I'll try my best.
I appreciate it.
Seth.
We'll
I really have
notes.
Enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, for sure. We'll make sure we get that in the show notes, Mark, right? Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed chatting with you today, and I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had fun with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So before we sign off, Mark, just remind us how our audience can connect with you.
Absolutely. So yes, if anybody would like to reach out to me, it is Mark Howell, which is H-O-W-E-L-L, but my company name is HowellCreativeConcepts.com. It's spelled H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon. And I am at Mark@Howell, which is H-O-W-L, CreativeConcepts.com. So please feel free to reach out to me if you want to, first of all, be a part of our show, if you have something that you're passionate about, but or just have comments or questions for me in general.
Thank you. Awesome. Seth, what about you? How can our audience stay connected with you?
Absolutely. Anybody's welcome to reach out to me. My email is setho@tbrs.com. Feel free to reach out to me with questions. If you have any question about what we talked about today, or if you have any interest in TriBridge, either I'll try to help you or get you to the right person. And I certainly welcome anybody to reach out.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you both, gentlemen. Beautiful commentary. Lots to aspire to as our leadership skills are growing every single day and we're trying to do our part. So thank you, Seth, for setting such a great template, like I mentioned earlier, for all of us when it comes to defining what corporate culture should be and how it evolves each and every day. So thank you for being here for episode 21. Be sure to subscribe. Give us a thumbs up and give us a review. Any comments, as Mark mentioned, we love your feedback and we thank you for supporting this show. That concludes our show for today. We'll see you soon. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.